You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You may have heard the term guardian ad litem or court-appointed special advocate or CASA. These people volunteer their time to advocate for children in court to make sure a child's voice is heard. This is a critical role that aims to keep children safe when child abuse or neglect or abandonment is alleged. However, here in Idaho, CASA isn't fully funded, and more volunteers are also needed. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Jamie Hansen. She is the Executive Director of Family Advocates. This is the organization that oversees the program in the 4th Judicial District of Idaho. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
I just want to start, Jamie, with you explaining what exactly this program entails.
It's really critical. As you just outlined, the Child Protection Act in the state of Idaho specifically states that a volunteer guardian ad litem will represent the children or the child involved in a child protection case. It's critical because without this voice, this mouthpiece for the judge, permanency can't be achieved, not the best possible permanency. So the guardian ad litem is a volunteer that does about 30 hours of pre-service training with our organization. They shadow in the courtroom. They write up reports, mock reports. They're, of course, background checked. Mm-hmm. And then they sign into a case, and they have a pro bono attorney assigned to them as well here in the 4th District, specifically Ada County. And then they visit with the child once a month. They build a rapport with the child or the children involved in the case, as well as all the adults in that child's life, teachers, parents, next-door neighbors, auntie in Florida, pretty much everybody. And that one role, that guardian ad litem, has access to 100% of the information involved in that case. And then they write up a report with their recommendations for the best interests of the child. It could be medical advocacy, mental health advocacy, educational, and it could be ultimately permanent placement.
And when we talk about this as a volunteer position, this is what is mandated, correct?
It is. The statute 16-1632 of the Child Protection Act explicitly states a guardian ad litem is a volunteer in the state of Idaho. Not all states and not all counties operate in that way outside of Idaho.
So in Idaho, I believe you told me earlier that there are 7 districts that have this program in place, correct?
Correct. There's 7 judicial districts in the state of Idaho, and therefore there's 7 independent nonprofit 501c3 organizations that run the CASA program in that judicial district.
However, it's not fully funded here in Idaho. I believe the numbers you gave me were it's about $1.1 million for these 7 districts. But if we look at just the 4th Judicial District, which covers, what, Ada, Elmore Valley, and
Boise County,
mm-hmm. you would need $1.6 million alone just for the 4th Judicial District.
Correct. So we have one staff member that National CASA says can house, coach, mentor up to 30 volunteer guardians ad litem and up to 45 cases. That's about 60 to 90 children in those cases. And one staff member costs money to house year-round. The state of Idaho has dedicated $1.1 million for all 7 judicial districts in our state. But yes, if we were to meet the needs of all of the children in out-of-home placement in our 4 counties, we would need $1.6
million. And statewide, you need more than $6
million. I estimate more than $6 million. The Supreme Court did a wonderful job in legislative session 2017 and almost doubled the amount of funding that we received. Up until that year, we had only about $625,000 dedicated to CASA in the state of Idaho.
I'm speaking with Jamie Hansen. She's the Executive Director of Family Advocates that oversees the CASA program. If you have questions for Jamie, get them in really quick. You can just email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. So since this is not fully funded, how in the world do you see every child, or can you?
This is the heartbreaking part. We can't. Last year, we had to withdraw from 14% of the cases the court appointed to us. And the courts are already prioritizing cases, so they send us children under the age of 12, which is a little dicey because children over 12 are assigned a contract conflict attorney through the public defender's office.
Mm-hmm. And attorneys, but no guardian ad litem.
Correct. Yeah. And unfortunately, there's kind of an ethical question there. Attorneys have their ethics say they have to represent their client's expressed interests. Mm-hmm. And a guardian ad litem is there to research and express best interests. So imagine a 15-year-old who wants to go live with her 22-year-old boyfriend. That's probably not in their best mm-hmm. interest.
Well, or potentially let's talk about a 12-year-old child who still loves their parents, will always love their parents, but may be in a horrible situation that they need to be extracted from.
There's very few children that want to be removed from their parents.
And so this is the dicey part right there.
Yeah.
So do you just need more volunteers? Would that make a difference even though you are not fully funded?
We have to maintain our national CASA standards, which is one staff member for 30 volunteers. So our funding and our volunteer numbers have to kind of increase steadily every single year. We would need to add at least one or two FTEs, full-time employees, every year for the amount of guardians we're being recruited and being trained. We estimate about 70 guardians every single year that we bring on.
So does the legislature need to relook at this, to be frank? Do they need to look at this? And does more funding need to be put towards this?
Of course, I am biased because I think these children deserve adequate legal representation as outlined in the Constitution of the United States and in the Child Protection Act in the state of Idaho. So I do think we need significantly more funding in order to make sure that these children's futures are preserved, that their safety is preserved. I think that this is the most critical conversation that our legislators can have at this time. We are very fortunate that they just formed a foster care subcommittee with Senator Abby Lee heading it up, and she's very passionate about children's well-being.
What's interesting to me is that when you look at this, there is a domino effect that if these children are not given a voice, we see it time and time again that they grow up, and not all, but many, end up within our judicial system, many times being incarcerated. So if the funding isn't given on the front end, we're going to pay for it on the back end.
Absolutely. And I also feel lucky that we're finally having a prevention conversation. How do we keep home visiting here in Idaho? There's federal dollars that have just recently been dedicated. How do we make sure that we're reaching families before significant trauma occurs? How do we keep these children out of the child protection system? Systems are not set up to help children feel good in that moment. Mm-hmm. Systems are there to make a tough decision. And so systems re-traumatize children and families. So it's best if we keep them out in the first place.
And, you know, I should make a note that on January 3rd, we are going to be doing a special Idaho Matters talking about childhood trauma and all of the effects of this, talking with our Faces of Hope and with other organizations, because we are finally looking at this prevention model. So we'll be discussing that.
Great.
So because it's important that we talk about this in very blunt terms.
Absolutely.
Also, what you were talking about before we came on the air, and I find this fascinating, is that with the cost of housing going up throughout Idaho, but in particular in the Treasure Valley, that you said Elmore County has seen a tremendous rise in these cases because people are needing to move farther out in order to afford to live.
Absolutely. We're seeing it in all of our rural communities, so I'm only going to speak to 4th Judicial District, but I want everybody across the state to know that it's happening in their area as well. What we first saw is Elmore County explosion. We had a 600% increase over just a short few months in child abuse, neglect, and abandonment cases. And a lot of this isolation as they get pushed out of the Treasure Valley, where resources, where transportation, where their friends and families are, that isolation breeds domestic violence. So it's not only intimate partner violence, but it's the children are present for that as well, and oftentimes the survivors of that violence.
And I do want to point out that also at Family Advocates, you do a family strengthening program because there are times where even in these situations, families can make this work and make changes.
It's so amazing to see that. It makes my job a lot easier to go into work every single day.
Right.
We're in Boise, Caldwell, and we expanded out to Mountain Home last year because of these huge increase in cases. Those programs are centered around food, because I don't know about you, but I don't do anything without food present.
No, not at all.
And then we incentivize the education through diapers, wipes, school supplies, clothing, household items that the families might need just to help offset some of those financial stressors. And really, the tool, those are just the the good things about, you know, getting people in the door. The reason why people stay is because of the community that they build. So every week they're learning a new task or a new soft or hard skill set. It could be PTSD and mental health. It could be their own childhood trauma that they're relaying on to their own kids. Financial literacy, employability, it runs the whole gamut. But they make friends with people in their circle. And again, isolation, breaking down those walls is how we know we can prevent child abuse from happening in the future.
And I think that any parent you talk to will say that no matter what your economic situation is, raising a child is one of the hardest things that you will do. And you feel alone, I think, especially as a mother, even as a new mother, when you have every resource available.
Absolutely. If you don't have somebody you can call on so you can get into that shower so that you can take a break, so that you can have an adult conversation or have a cup of coffee, what's possible?
Right. Exactly. So since you have to keep those numbers, since you have the one full-time CASA employee, And the federal mandate is you can only have, what, the 30 volunteers, correct? What can people do then if they want to be involved?
Volunteer. We desperately need volunteers. This is across the state of Idaho. You can find your local CASA program. Just type your town CASA. It'll come up in the Google search. Of course, our website is familyadvocates.org. If you aren't able to give the gift of time right now, our guardians spend about 10 to 15 hours per month on their cases, then consider a gift, a donation. It is the time of year when people are feeling generous. It's the end of year, so feel free to open up that wallet.
Do you have spaces available right now in the 4th District?
Absolutely. We only need another 422 guardians ad litem in order to meet the needs of the children today.
Okay. I want to thank you for coming in today and talking more about this and just shedding light on what this program is, but also how critical it is to children in Idaho.
Thank you.
My guest today, Jamie Hansen, she is the executive director of Family Advocates.